Hello and welcome to Awaken the Healer Within. I'm your host, Jason Prahl, and with me now I have Bobby Vogel. Yeah, Bobby is a powerfully gifted clairvoyant healer. I know this from firsthand experience. She is dedicated to helping others recognize and activate their own power lying dormant within. She founded Etheric Medicine, where she leads both private and group sessions. And in her sessions, Bobby connects directly to spirit and channels what is necessary to clear stagnant energy, triggering disease within the body. Through her work, Bobby passionately helps others connect to faith and return to their own power so that they can step forward into a life of purpose and abundance, bridging the gap between spirit, science, and medicine. Bobby, thanks for joining me today.
Thank you. I'm really looking forward to this.
So there's a lot of phrases and words in your bio that might be triggering, exciting, that might hold a lot of charge for people on the other end of this, listening or watching. Etheric medicine, you know, spirit, channeling. These are interesting terms. And without putting too much emphasis on any of them, I'd love to just maybe take a step backwards into before you got into this work, because as far as I know, you didn't start here. I wonder if you can take me back to a time before you used these words, you connected with these words, what you might have thought about encountering someone like yourself now. Were you always in tune with this type of languaging and ideas?
A great question. I would say now yes, in hindsight, right? the languaging more comes currently from, you know, I'm spirit taught, so the language comes from my own experience with spirit, and a triggering word for people, God, which is non-denominational for me, you know, who I hang out with every day, and faith, which we are divinely guided 100% of the time, so that's not a religion. But I would say over my lifetime, I can look back now because I've been through so much, you know, not just, you know, what brought me to this work, but, you know, an adopted kid that went through a lot of abuse and things like that. And I can know now, even though it was all amazing, perfect, beautiful, gave me the tools, the gifts that I was going to need for today, always, it was always going to be this way. I can see now where I was divinely guided through, right, and connected and felt the presence of. I just never had an understanding or language for it, right? And so in my early 20s, I was gifted a session with Linda Howe, who now is Akashic Records person, but I knew her back in Chicago when she was doing soul retrievals. And at that time, I could tell you, I absolutely did not have any faith in or understanding of or even acceptance of, right? I thought when I was giving this gift certificate to go do what now? You know, to go to have a soul retrieved? Like, okay, sure, you know? And so even in the process when she was explaining it to me, it's funny because I thought I was on candid camera. I legitimately thought, you know, like I was looking around because I was at, so my dad was killed when I was 20, right? So I stopped, if I believed in anything, I stopped believing in anything then, right? Because it was boom, in a car accident. And so this was like 2 years later and I was mad and I was like, man, I was a very different person, right? Not yet on the healing path at all. And she did this process with me and I was looking around feeling so silly and so dumb. She's doing the drumming and she's doing all these things that she said she'd do. But when she came back, she, you know, long story short, she did the process she said she would. And when she blew into my heart, which I was uncomfortable with anybody being close to me like that. And, you know, but she blew what she said would be my piece of my lost soul into my heart chakra. And I couldn't exhale. And I just started bawling. And it scared me so much. I sat up because I couldn't get a breath. And I was sobbing. And what she saw 3 souls before retrievals before that that were dead on. She knew nothing about me. I'd never met her. And she was, you know, was dead on about my birth and my being adopted and then my relationship with my brother. And then the dad, she got to hang out with my dad, you know, who had not yet crossed over because he had told her while she was hanging out with him and, you know, in the other realm, that I had asked him not to leave me here. And he repeated that to her, and I had never told anybody that. And so anyway, from that, and it's not like, so I was like, wow, there's no way you could, I mean, there's no way somebody could have known, right? And then my life began to shift a bit once my dad was fully on the other side and able to be with me and guide me. And I had a sense, and I knew he was, because things unfolded that made no sense to me. And even then life went on, and I wasn't like wearing, you know, spiritual pants and beads and all those things. It's life just kept going on. And it wasn't until I, you know, found myself homeless in Venice after being a top producing real estate agent in San Francisco, that I was stripped of everything but faith, with a suicide plan that I, in that moment, said, God effing help me, or I'm coming back. And that's a long story, right? But in the essence of time, it's like, so I said, if I'm supposed to come back, I had a plan, 5-day plan. So that was a Wednesday, and I was gonna leave on Monday. And I said, if I'm supposed to come back and hit the reset button, I'm fine with that, because I'm done here. I'm tapped, I'm scared, I had no family, I had no car anymore, I had no, like, I was getting evicted, and I was done, you know. And I said, hey, you're gonna have to give me a pretty big sign, because I'm too exhausted. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't mean to give you, you know, ultimatums, God, you know, but when I heard my voice say, God help me, booger crying, is when I heard you're not done yet. You still have healing to do. Because my human voice answered without thinking, please tell me what it is that I need to heal. I'm not trying to renege on whatever it is I said I would do, but I need your help. Please lead me to it and through it. Those words just came out of my mouth. And so somehow I knew that I had signed up for, somehow that's the information I got, was that, wow, I signed up for some stuff, you know? And I just, faith was born, you know? And I asked for that sign. The sign came through Michael Beckwith at Agape. It's a very long story, but the sign came on Sunday, right? The day before that. And I didn't even know about Agape. And I said I should check it out. And I rolled in there, and he basically channeled, you know, my parents and God, which now I understand is like absolutely 100%. We can all do that, you know, but had I not been listening, I wouldn't have heard it.
Well, and I feel like if you'd not been suffering and quote unquote broken and dealing with all this inner turmoil, you wouldn't have even been to the point of listening, right? So this is kind of, I love your illustration of kind of the path of many of us, which is just lost and confused and struggling and so much. And even if it's not so overt as your story, because it's quite a story, it could be so much more simple or so much more mainstream. And yet the inner turmoil is nevertheless the same, right? And so the calling or the confusion or the doubt and the, all this stuff is still there. And I love that, because, you know, one of these experiences that you're sharing, this stuff gets pretty weird, right? Like if you start dabbling in sort of the spiritual communities and spiritual world, there's a lot of crazy stuff that happens. And I use that term without judgment. It's just kind of all crazy, right? And so we need to use our discernment, right? Like, is this in alignment? Is this coming from a kind of a distorted, wounded place? Or is this in true harmony and alignment? And so there's a lot to navigate in that world. And I just kind of want to share my story with that, because I was a scientifically minded, logic, right? That's how I viewed the world. And my first experience with kind of this other side of the equation was it was totally out of fun. And I think I was 16, 17, where it really hit me. I had my palm read, and this was a totally like a joke thing that we were doing. I was with a bunch of high school friends, and we were taking a trip to LA for some basketball camp, and it was a total joke. And this lady like nailed stuff, and I'm like, what the heck? Like, I don't know how she did that, and I still don't know how. But that kind of like was the first crack in my armor, so to speak. And then some
Really?
others, yeah, like, huh? That was
Yeah.
like, I didn't even want to share it with other people because I'm like, I don't know what happened there. But then these type of experiences started to unfold for me more and more, and I started to recognize that I kind of loosened my grip on reality, right? And just allowed more in. And so that's I think maybe a good place for me to invite the listeners and the audience here, because I think what we're going to talk about is stuff that some people have perhaps experienced and love, and it's so juicy. And for perhaps some, it seems a little bit untenable, untouchable, unbelievable, or perhaps at odds with their current perspective, right? And I want to honor that, and I think that's a good thing too. So
100%.
it doesn't have to be one way or the other. This is merely a discussion of your own experience and what I think is a cool thing to investigate, right? And what's cool is that, you were kind enough to sort of sit with me in session and demonstrate your work with me, and I was amazed. It was fantastic. It was beautiful. And at the same time, the work's not done. You didn't fix me. There was, nothing like that. It was just your gifts were able to express in this experience and show me some new aspects. They were able to give me some gifts that I can take with me, right? There's just a lot of juice there.
Right.
And it was a fun thing to experience.
Yeah. And I first say, I love that. So, for launching off into the, because there's science. So, and I should say to everybody, hey, like it or not, before we started this, I asked my guide spirit to show up and guide the conversation and what would be, useful for people listening. And so I love that you said, you can't fix me, because I work on behalf of who's in front of me, spirit, God, non-denominational. And my biggest job and the greatest gift is to turn people back to themselves, because to heal themselves, yes, and to also connect to their own guides, as I did that day. I already had a tattoo of, these people that I saw in my peripheral when I meditated, years before being connected in this way. But we all, believe it or not, right? We all are light beings, inhabiting, and our etheric bodies came first. Our soul is in, our spirit is within our etheric body, and our physical body is simply a hologram. It's a duplicate of the etheric, and they're scientifically proven. I mean, you can look up Curlian photography, and I call it Einsteinian medicine, and so there's plenty to look up. But so knowing that we are light beings and how in this having this physical experience, these this illusion of all these things, we this is the beautiful thing is why I say, bridging this gap between its spirit, science, and medicine is that everything, it's easy to understand if you first can understand that or grasp that you are light beings, and that this is a vehicle that we came into in order to come and heal our wounds and show love and compassion and find purpose and all the things. But we are divinely led through all of that. Whether you're aware of it or not, you are being divinely led. There are no coincidences. And our guys have been with us since we came in and took this body. And I'm spirit taught. So I've not read any of these things. Even I, when I started being taught this stuff, I was like, what? Are you kidding me? And especially when they started teaching me what they told me to call etheric medicine 5 years ago, it lines up with Western medicine, even though it's in different terms, and we speak about it in different ways. It would make sense then, if we are a hologram, that everything that comes through the etheric body, the wounds, the experiences, environmental things, trauma, good things, bad things, it all comes through the etheric first, because that's what's surrounding our physical. So wouldn't it make sense that whatever is sitting in the physical would be a direct connection to what's sitting in the etheric, because they're duplicates of each other. And one is something people can't believe because they can't see it, which is also, why I got the term healing is in the medicine that we cannot see, right? So that's why it's, to work with cancers as I do, and other illnesses and everything. I'm not, by the grace of God, I was, pre-med, and then I ended up a paramedic after my dad died. And so I've been guided to be trained and have a lot of medical knowledge. I was an amazing paramedic. And so I understand easily what they're showing me, but it's every single time I've been in the room with a doctor and I've worked with doctors, there is a core, they're like, oh my God, that actually makes sense. That actually could be possible. I'm like, well, that's what they're saying, so it's a powerful, I've been saying for years, the most powerful thing we could do to truly heal is to heal both our, we can call it energy body, right? If you don't like the word etheric, our energy body, I'm hearing it called quantum body and all these, now, but now that it's finally being accepted and acknowledged, but whatever you feel comfortable calling it, you have an energy field around you that absorbs literally everything, and it holds every experience, everything, and it vibrates outward your own emotions and thoughts, and that's how we communicate with a quantum field. And so spirit holds all the information for everything. And that's, the same with you getting your palm read, or Michael Beckwith being able to channel exactly my thoughts about my plan for suicide and why I shouldn't do it. It's like the information comes from another place. It's an impossibility that it doesn't.
Well, and that's what I hear over and over again from various traditions and teachings, is really it's our job to kind of get out of the way, right? As the small self, as this one that I typically identify as me, it's all of my parts and all of my conditioned aspects in the mind. It's sort of stepping aside and allowing sort of the divine truth and my aspect, my beingness, because there is a me here that's a conductor in this whole experiment, if you will, that is playing a role, but it's really allowing that to come through in my divine essence, in my own uniqueness, right? And delivering that to the world. And that really becomes our essence of our purpose, is how do I channel that divinity through me? And what does that look like as it comes out, right? There's so much there. And I love that you pointed to this idea, as you're sort of naming all these terms, we can get lost in the terminology sometimes, right? And the important thing is not to sort of really get hard and fast on what these terms mean and what exactly this is and where is the boundary and how does this work. Although that's kind of fun, and then we can play in that area, we're missing the real aspect, the real gift, which is the direct experience of these things, right? And so maybe you can kind of share that with me about just some of the things that you witness, when you work with people. How does this really work, right? I mean, if we can accept, and I think we can, we have like the HeartMath Institute, we've got a lot of the scientific work out there showing that we have these fields, right? The mm-hmm. heart creates a field around it, like the brain has a field. We don't even know what a field is. Like we can't measure we can measure a magnetic field, but we can't, there's no thing. It's not a, it's just there, right? And we can measure its strength, but we don't really understand what a field even is, right? It's an energy, but only in certain instances does it actually have an impact on physical matter, right? There's all these different like funny things about fields. So how does this actually work when you're sitting across with somebody or working with somebody? Are you sensing what's in their field? Are you being sort of guided? Are you feeling it? Are you seeing it? What's happening there as you're kind of working with somebody?
Yeah. So I can, gosh, you know, I'm asking Spirit, which story should I tell them? You know, because there's because I like to, or we like to go back to the very beginning, right? Because Jason, this was a surprise to me too. You know, I was a real estate agent, right? And I went to ayahuasca and then, you know, and these things, and I didn't leave ayahuasca, you know, playing a flute. It's like, I had to, Spirit kind of jokes, they didn't have to kick, you know, drag me kicking and screaming, but I definitely wasn't like, you know, at the time, right? It's like, I was recovering, finally, like flipping houses and building up, you know, money again, and after being homeless and everything. So the thought of becoming a healer at the time, I was like, I have to be poor again? What do you mean? You know, I was like, because it was very clear, you know, that I was gifted, you know, or I was in tune, and we're all gifted, right? So, but that I was being asked to really pay attention and utilize my strong connection to Spirit and develop, you know, my knowing of God and being taught by God. I know that sounds, because I am not religious.
Well, I'll just say that we're all taught by God, right? So yeah. I kind of want to like just kind of quell that a little bit,
all
right?
Of because us. Yeah, right,
we all have our own connection with, we are all in tune with, and it's just the uniqueness at which we're sort of either doing that or developing that or working with that, right?
In the beginning, right, when I was doing sessions I was in my last renovation project, this little craftsman in Long Beach and California, and I'd made a little sanctuary. It didn't sell, you know, so moved into it. And I made a sanctuary in this little garage, and I was doing sessions for like, I think $50, you know, just because there had to be a money and energy exchange, you know. And initially I asked Spirit, like, hey, you're going to have to help me know how I'm supposed to find people to be in service to, because this is very different than real estate, right? I'm not going to get a shopping cart with my face on it. You know what I mean? I never did that, but I'm kidding, you know, but so I didn't know. So I was very clear that, well, we will send you who we want you to help on our behalf. Great. So here comes this lady, right? She sits like this, staring at me, and I'm just like, so what's going on, you know? And she's like, I can't have kids. I was like, well, what does Western medicine say about that? Like, I didn't even know where that, I just start tuning in, and Spirit has me ask, you've experienced it. Hey, have me ask questions. And it's not me having a, you know, tea party with somebody. It's Spirit led questions. And she was giving one word answers, right? I was like, oh my God, you know, how am I supposed to help? Because I communicate with them even while I'm talking, you know, I hear them, I can see everything to answer that question. I feel things in my body. I see the etheric body, but I can sense things. Yeah, feel pain, emotion. I hear their questions. They show me images and, you know, like little movies sometimes to re-experience things. And so this started happening. And I said, well, what does Western medicine say? And she said, well, I'm going tomorrow to a specialist in vitro because I have a misshapen uterus. And they're saying, you know, and cysts and things like that. And that's why I can't. You know, I'm having trouble. I was like, okay, so how do I help this lady? And before I knew it, they just started showing, I closed my eyes and they started showing me, they put her in the center. And then all of a sudden there was this big circle of spirits around her. And they had me ask her, I'm not going to say what, but there were some very personal questions and some, you know, it was about her history. With caring kids, you know, or not, you know, and so there's, you know, And so she answered those things, and she was like, because they were so specific, the questions. And so she started kind of going with it. And then I was like, oh, wait a minute. And this is my first sort of connection to also mediumship, is that I was like, wait, your mom's on the other side? And she said, yeah. And I said, and your grandma, her mom? Yeah. And I said, and her brother, so your uncle, so all three of them. And I didn't even, because when I'm in that space, it makes perfect sense to me. Like, what's the big deal? I mean, they're standing right there. You know what I mean? It's like, why are you shocked? You know, I'm not. And so it's sort of, it was fun. It was just sort of, you know, fun learning and teaching. So they helped her clear the energy out of her uterus, long story short. It was a beautiful process, but mind blowing.
But it was so there was stuck energy. There's just energy that was being held on to, so to speak.
Yes. For reasons, you know, intense reasons, and that she hadn't healed.
Yeah.
She hadn't even thought to heal, you know, yeah. She hadn't even thought to heal it because what all the stuff, right? So that's the other beautiful thing in our healing process, which we're all in, like if we're in a body, we have healing to do. And the beautiful thing is, we're not always conscious, and we don't have to remember our wounds. We don't even have to understand them. All we need to know is, but spirit knows, because they've been with us, right? We have our guides, our spirit guides that have been with us through before we even, you know, we chose our wounds before them and our life purpose before God. And they promised us they'd be with us and wake us up when it was time and give us the information we need when it's, you know, divine timing. And we don't have to worry about it, which is really cool. It's like, hey, all you have to do is ask anybody, you know, you ask, what is it? Help me, lead me to it and through it. And so when people come and they, you know, have unexplained illnesses, I know that whatever it is, spirit knows what it is, right? So with this woman, this is how it all started unraveling, is that they had such specific information about her that nobody even really knew except her, and she paid it no mind. And here it was the reason she couldn't conceive. So we did this whole healing and, you know, all these amazing things. Her family stepped forward from on the other side to help her. She had to ask them to. It's a spiritual law I learned in that moment. I was like, I don't know. I guess you're supposed to ask them to. So now I know, okay, we have to ask so they could step forward on our behalf. And then they did. And they literally cleared all this energy out. I watched them do it. It was crazy, right? Like you said, but I'm sitting here watching it. She went the next day to this specialist. She didn't have a misshapen uterus. She didn't have, everything was, and she, I think, just had her second baby.
That's beautiful. Well, and I think that's what's so cool about these things, is that the aspect of time, right, starts to become irrelevant, right? Like usually when we think about healing, especially with the body, that there is, you know, I mean, we're programmed to think this, that the liver can turn over in this many days, and these organs and the skin, and like everything takes this amount of time in order to regenerate. And so right. And of course we cut ourselves and we see that the wound on our finger, it has to scab over. And then it's like, there's a process, right? And so we're literally from birth conditioned to believe that every aspect of healing must take a certain amount of time. And of course, the greater the wound, the greater amount of time it's going to take to heal, right? And from my limited experience and from many stories and these type of things, it just doesn't seem to be the case. These things can happen instantaneously because the mind is operating outside of time, right? And even the deeper aspects of our essence is outside of time. And so these things, in other words, are already here. We just have to accept the truth that the healing has already happened, that it's
if you want it to.
Right.
If you want it to. So we could launch off into, there's plenty of people who don't really want it to because they get a lot from being a victim totally. Of things, right? Said with compassion, you know, but this is beautiful because for two things. So I'm like, okay, I'll, you know, like they're very excited, right? It's like, so I have to tell, you know, so this woman recently with cancer, I work, like I said, I was on the Global Cancer Symposium. And so I got, you know, a lot of people came to me with this. And so we were on session, probably our fifth one. And, you know, there's a lot to unpack. Hey, if you have manifested, you know, if there's density in your body being called cancer, it didn't get there overnight and it's not going to leave overnight, you know, and the beautiful thing is it's not supposed to, because the path to the healing, as you started out the conversation by saying, is like, it's a beautiful path. And we're meant to come home to ourselves and connect to our guides and to truly inhabit our brilliance and our high vibration and our power. That's what it's calling us to do. It's not a punishment. It has nothing to do with God, I hope, saves me. It's like, no, this is a beautiful path, right? So she's on the path, right? So we're like in the fifth session and she gets on the session like two times ago. I actually did a video about it and she was like tears, right? And I was like, what's the matter? What's wrong? You know, she's wearing, you know, her hair is gone. And she said, I have level 10 plus pain right in the middle of my gut. And, you know, I'm thought to go to the hospital, but this is only the second time I've ever had it. And she has liver and lymph, right? Cancer. And so I was like, oh, you know, she was in horrible pain. She said last, and she's a doctor. They just like, oh, that's right. She's a doctor. And so she had gone to the doctor the last time it happened. And it was a while ago. And they said, we don't know what's wrong. And as a doctor, she's like, what do you mean? Check this and this and this and this and this, right? And so this is her first experience with spirit, as well as there's so many people that I've been working with cancers. They're now, you know, utilize their guides for their healing and for making vacation decisions and all kinds of fun stuff. And I asked, you know, how do I help her? Because it's different for everybody. I have no, you know, rote thing I do with people. I call it in. I ask them to breathe in light because it illuminates their etheric body, because I'm able to see where density resides in the etheric body as it relates to the physical body. If you can think of it as sort of like, it's like I can see straight through the etheric, but also where the density resides. And it's almost like an overlay. That's the best way to describe it. It's like an overlay. You know, so if I took that etheric overlay off, all I would see is the physical body. And then I can't see where the density is. But if I put the overlay back, oh, there it is, you know, just like in grade school, at least for me. And so I tuned in and I just started, you know, sending light, because they've taught me, you know, how that actually in ayahuasca, I was shown light coming out of the palm, and they've taught me acupuncture and I can see meridians. I was taught that while I was working with an acupuncturist a few years ago, like phenomenal, right? So we have, yes. Okay. I'll explain that. So the etheric body overlaps the physical body as well. It's not just outside of it. For me, it looks like a space about this much where it overlaps, and within the space of overlapping resides the meridians, which are, and the, you know, chakras and other things, but the meridians reside in that space that is both. And I was taught that that is where the communication between our, you know, our energy, our etheric body's electrical system, it also has one, just as our physical body has our spine, our vertebrae, you know, our electrical system, right? Without those operating right, everything, you know, falls apart. So we see this. And so I couldn't see her meridians, you know, because when people are in pain or their anxiety is running the show, the electrical system quivers, right? The etheric body, which is my specialty, right? It looks like this for me. And when it's doing that, nothing flows. there's no flow in our light body, which we are, you know, like it or not, and believe it or not. And so when the flow isn't going, that's where, you know, stagnation starts. And if we're not clearing that, then stagnation turns to density, and density then duplicates into the physical body. And now we have cancer or autoimmune or, you know, all the things, pain and inability to heal, whatever, all the things, you know, different for everybody. And so we did this work, right? And she's like, well, it's helping a little bit, right? And so then this was crazy, you know, because I didn't see this coming myself. Me, Bobby didn't, but I'm doing this work up here. And all of a sudden I see this other woman from afar, like hanging on this wall and in the other realm, right? Because this is the quantum field, right? But we don't really live here, you know, that's an illusion, right? So, which is why we could just like pick whatever we want from the quantum field. Hey, it's yours, take it, you know, so, or call it in. But so that's where I work. And so I was like, wait, is that my client? You know, and I was asking spirit, what's it? Because she was like not dead, she was barely alive, but she was beat up and her dress was all tattered and all these things, and got it on, you know, telling the short version. But I looked and she had a sword, like a jagged, dirty sword straight through the gut right there. And I was still like, because I was looking at my client's etheric body and her being, you know, was still here. So I was like, who's this then? And so this was a past life that she had, and fascinating that this life, like this physical, is like this life didn't fully cross and was still trying to cling to and having the experience of being in that position and having this knife and all these other things. And so I did all this healing and debriding. I pulled the knife out, and then I thought that was going to save the lady on the wall, and it actually allowed her to leave fully.
Yeah, it's like things don't fully process, right? It's like we're just caught, and it's
sometimes you know, not. Yeah. And that I want to be careful with that, because that's not true for everybody. I have to say I haven't seen this a ton, right? So I don't go in and say, well, let's look at your past life. Like, I wait, because it's spirit's agenda. It's not mine. And so that took them 5 sessions to get to, right? So we weren't ready to do that until they said it was time to do it. And it's not my call, right? So they tell me what to do next. They like, so I have doctors flanking me, you know, which is really cool, because I want to be a doctor since I was a little kid. And that's who's teaching me and handing me these tools. And so I'm doing this debriding, which I already knew how to do because I've worked with burn victims, and necrotic is like dead tissues. And so I had to like do that to the person on the wall and then her. And as soon as she crossed over and I did all this work in the physical with this, my client, she was like, it's starting to feel better, and da da da. And she sent me an email, and an hour later said it's completely gone. And so, oh, and she was sliced almost in half, and like just crazy. It is crazy.
Well, that's what I mean. So this is the thing. As you get into the details, right? It can really, to some degree, we can lose ourselves in what you're describing, right? And I want to bring us back to the reality, the truth, and of the essence and the simplicity of what's really going on. You have a woman, and she probably got to that point that you mentioned earlier, where she prayed, she set an intention, right? She claimed her autonomy and her authority and said, I am ready to heal. Please, God, whatever your method is, right? There's, as you got to, and on your knees, and what am I supposed to do? And so I want to bring that forth, which is that we are here and we can claim this aspect of ourselves that says, I am ready to heal. I am, what do you need me to do? Pray, however your method is, but there's this intention that is set. And then whatever unfolds, right? I can pretty much guarantee that when this woman got diagnosed with cancer, or she got to this point of recognition, that she felt lost and confused and didn't know where else to turn, I'm pretty sure she wasn't imagining that she was going to end up in front of you with this story that was going to be the result of the way her feeling better, right? Or same thing with the woman that wasn't able to have kids, right? So I think this is what's so cool about the way reality is that it's crazier than we can imagine, right? But that's the truth, right? It's like things are so wild. And if we can just allow ourselves to accept the possibility that things are wilder than we can imagine, then that actually opens the door for some of these possibilities to creep in, doesn't it? That the possibilities of meeting someone like you doing the crazy work that you do to actually get the thing that I'm really wanting, which is to heal, to feel better, to get back on my path that doesn't allow me to get off track and take me down.
Right. And I, you know, so I took a walk this morning and I just want, you know, that's, I can on the beach, I try and do that every morning. And something really important to say, you know, and this, people might not like this, but, you know, we don't need to do ayahuasca or mushrooms or any other thing to connect to our higher self and spirit and get guided and get messages and feel what I know is euphoria, because I hang out with spirit all day long and I have never felt more love in my life, just because we are all so adored, so loved, and so guided. So why not lean in on that and ask for it right where you're standing, like right now? You don't have to go, you don't have to set up an altar. You don't have to be on your knees. You don't have to be in an ashram or anywhere. You can literally be in the grocery store and say, God, help me quietly, or help lead me. Like, give me a sign, you know, what's next. I need you to, you know, be da, da, da. And when you ask, you will receive, you know. If you can't get, you know, out of your own way, and if you don't believe it, try it. I dare you. Start asking, what is it? You know, please be with me. Lead me to it and through it, just like I did. And then pay attention. Pay attention. But if you're in the busy and you're devout to not hearing it, because it's a, then you won't, right? But it's ultimately, your life can change literally overnight.
That's the possibility that I think if we can hold that within ourselves, and then the two qualities that I'm feeling as you're sort of discussing this is, one is to remain curious like a child, right? So it's really just allowing things to present themselves, right? And remaining super, super curious about what's possible. And then the other one is using discernment, right? This really, really sort of inner quality of truth that is your truth, and discerning where to go and what to do and what to listen to and what not to. And, you know, it's a very important quality as well. So if we can hold both of those things with this idea that anything is possible, then all of a sudden that kind of unlocks a certain alchemy, a certain magic that you can't even imagine what's going to unfold. Right. And I think that's the fun. That's the fun of it all, as opposed to trying to control and trying to, you know, hold this tight grip on reality. It kind of just constrains the possibilities when we're in that view.
Yeah. If we can have the courage to, first of all, have faith that is true, that we are divinely guided and high vibrating, brilliant beings, and we have the courage and compassion with ourselves and others to get on this path, like, you will, if you ask, you will find your way to the purpose that you sign up for, which our soul, I know this because I'm taught and schooled every day about it. It's like, I know that our soul, every one of us, we want to honor and have reverence for ourselves at that level to actually find our way to the thing that we said we would do. If there's something, you know, your ego is wrapped up in what your purpose is or isn't, then you're in your way, right? But if you ask to be divinely led and you're paying attention and you just keep showing up like every day, who can I help and how can I help them? If and that is in every cell of my being. I say it with every cell. Whatever it is, I want to have that level of reverence. And I am trusted as much as I trust spirit. You know, I couldn't do this work if I didn't trust, because I'm saying crazy shit all the time. You know what I mean? Like all the time. And I don't care because I know it's the truth. And so that's the beautiful thing is like, hey, we don't, you know, we're seeing a lot of like mental health issues showing up here, like as if we didn't have enough already, but the pressure people are putting on themselves to get to this, you know, life purpose without having like, you know, it's like, hey, shut up. I'm busy finding my life purpose. You know, you're like brushing off spirit or not even utilizing because you're too deep in survival mode and you don't know how to receive this level of support. It's showing up in all kinds of different ways. But the truth is like all the power resides in us. We're the ones that had the courage to come here.
I love you lead us back to ourselves, right? That's really what it's about. And relaxing into to the greater aspects of this great mystery that we're all wrapped up in. And so I really hope everybody enjoyed this conversation. I mean, it's for me, it's a lot of fun. I think what you said at the end, I say crazy stuff like that. That to me, like there's a playfulness in this stuff too, right? Like it doesn't have to be so serious. And I am like, I'm like Captain Serious, you know, I'm sort of like recovering from being serious. So there's just a joy in exploring these things and playing with these things and figuring out what is real, what is truth, who am I? Like, this is a very, very crazy reality that we're walking through. And so bringing a little levity to it and playfulness to this experience with that childlike curiosity, I think it just makes the confusion a little bit more tolerable for me. So, you know, it's a lot more fun.
If you're into this quantum field and manifestation and all this rage, right? It's fun to watch, to be honest. You know, everybody banging into just what they're showing. Everybody's like banging into each other, trying to, you know, get this all right and get this and this. It's like, hey, number one, that like there's an endless supply of literally everything. It's sort of like, hey, if you want to reap the benefits from the quantum field, but you don't want to be in acceptance that you are divinely guided and a light being connected to all that is, which is power and source and everything else. You don't get to sidestep that and then try to reap the benefits. It's like, if you're reaping the benefits from the quantum field now, try actually, you know, filling with light and calling to spirit and pulling in what it is that you say that you want, because your life will like literally by tenfold change. But all those things are true, all of them. And so speaking the things and having kindness and compassion for self first, that speaks huge. Gratitude is like, right? Anyway, I love this. I love talking about it. So I'll just.
No, it's beautiful. Like I said, I hope people enjoyed this conversation. It was really meant to open up some things for people. And so wherever you're at, I hope you just enjoyed this conversation. And so Bobby, please tell us where people can find your work if they're interested in learning more about what you do.
Yeah. So etherikmedicine.com, etherikmedicine.com. BobbyVogel.com also points to it for people who don't like, you know, and I'm on Instagram at etherikmedicine.bobby and YouTube, Etheric Medicine. So yeah, all of those places. And then you can also get the Breathing the Light, which we didn't get to talk about maybe another time, but there's a free Breathing the Light on my website. And cool. You click on it and it'll explain this beautiful process that spirit taught me 5 years ago when they started teaching me etheric medicine during my own healing. It's profound. It'll not only help you heal whatever it is, but it'll help you connect to your guides and God, non-denominational start pulling from that field and all these beautiful things. So it's a wonder, and it's spirits. It's not mine. It's there. So, you know, go check that out. And yeah, I'm excited for everybody. And hey, we're all ready, like it or not. So
that's right. Well, if you're listening to this, then that's a pretty good sign of something. So again, I just encourage everybody to play with this stuff, have fun, explore, you know, bring that childlike curiosity out and see what comes out the other end without holding on so tight. So thank you all so much for joining us. We'll see you on the next one.